verses 1 through 20 is where we're going to be at in Mark chapter number 5. If you do come tonight, which I hope that you do, just to come hear April sing, you do have to stay for the message. Okay, so I hope that you'll do that. Good crowd here this morning. And thank you so much for just the opportunity, Pastor, to be here. And it's been a blessing. Mark chapter number 5, and let's take a look at verse number 1. And they came over under the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And he was come out of the ship, immediately met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There was about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. A buddy of mine was preaching on this passage, and he said that was the saddest verse in all the Bible. How much bacon was wasted that day? Look at verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they thought, or they that saw it, told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. The title of the message this morning is, "What a Crazy Neighbor." What a crazy neighbor. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray as we take a look at this crazy man's life and how he came and trusted in your son to be saved and how he was obedient to your word. Lord, I pray if we find ourselves lacking in an area that we'll draw closer to you. Lord, in this many people in this auditorium, there very easily could be one at least that needs to trust in your son to be saved. Lord, I pray that they will do that this morning. Lord, I pray that you help us as we look at your word, draw closer to you. Fill me with your spirit's power. I need your help. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Have you ever had a neighbor that drove you nuts? Or you had a neighbor that they just, how they were, the way they were, how they kept their house or outside of their house, it just started getting to you after a while. Like maybe you just go home and you look over and you're like, "When is that guy going to mow the yard?" And it just can just bother you because that guy will not mow his yard according to your schedule. Or you'd say, "Well, that kid always leaves that junk toys in my yard." Or that dog that they have. They're going to drive me crazy, that little yapper. I just want to punt it. And we deal with neighbors from time to time. Now, I've worked at the Bill Rice Ranch, Pastor said, almost 18 years now, and I still live there, so I can't talk about my crazy neighbors there because they may talk about their crazy neighbor, which is me, and so I got to be real careful about those things. But I'm real thankful for the neighbors that we have at the ranch, and I have a bunch of good ones that I've had over the years. And as I was thinking about crazy neighbors that I've had a lot of them as you travel in evangelism. We've stayed in a lot of hotels, and we've had a lot of crazy neighbors next door in our hotel rooms from time to time. As you have travel trailers and we park them in church parking lots, people think, oh, wow, that has to be so peaceful, hanging out in church parking lots. Well, oftentimes it is. This one was been very peaceful. We'll see how the night goes or whatever, now that I said that, but I would say this has been a great one, but there's been some church parking lots that hasn't been too comfortable. And I've had a lot of bad neighbors over the years because of that. I remember this is many years ago. We were in Orviston, Pennsylvania. And they would say, a lot of people in that area, you've been to Orviston? That's the end of the world. Because you go 10 miles up this mountain. It's winding all the way up, and it's like a lane and a half road, and you go and the road stops. It ends. No more pavement. No more nothing. It's a tree that's right there. And then you look to your right. That's Orviston, Pennsylvania. And you pull in there, and there are people there, good people. They're just interesting people. It's an old mining town, so they had this mining factory that was there, and if you worked it for that mining company, then you lived in those houses, and the mining factory was done, but people still live there. For instance, what they would do to celebrate once a year in their parade, they would paint their trees halfway up white. And I said, oh, is that for bugs or something? They said, no, that's how we celebrate. Okay. Pennsylvania, bless their hearts, you know. I was eating lunch one day, and I had my blinds up in the trailer, and I saw this guy come out of his driveway. And he goes over to where the concrete bridge is. So he zips out of his driveway, goes over to the bridge, and does a donut. Just all the way around that thing. Smoke was going everywhere. Then he stopped, went back into his driveway, and went back into the house. Sometimes you just need to do a burnout, I guess. I don't know. The first night we were there, they had a gravel lot. And there was people that were showing up, and they were doing peel outs and different things out in the driveway. And all of a sudden, that came to an end. It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, okay, praise the Lord, they're probably done. And all of a sudden, I hear, hey! Hey, you in the trailer! Come out! I was like, And you'll understand when I said that, I was not prepared to come out. All we had was a broom and the two guns that God gave me. All I had was the broom. And so I slept on the couch that night with the broom. I'm going to protect my family. And then after that, you don't want to be yelling at my trailer at night anymore. I'll just say that, okay? We were staying in a church over in Illinois, and I was listening to my Dallas Cowboys lose a game again. And as I was listening to that on the radio, the kids were asleep, and April was asleep, and I was there in the living room. I just had a thought to myself, I wonder if I've locked the door or not. And so I went over there, and I locked the door. And then I laid back down. I turned off the lights and things, and then I started hearing people outside the trailer. And they started saying, hey, take a look at that trailer. Yeah, it's nice. You know, I'm just sort of perking up, you know, a little bit. And they said, yeah, let's get in it. I'm like, what? And then they started shaking the door, trying to get in the trailer and things. And I turned off all the lights, and they went running. Praise the Lord for that. And that was a crazy night for me. I couldn't get to sleep after that. Probably the worst one we had one time, there was a church, and the neighbors had a rooster. That was a blessing. There was a spotlight over the trailer, and the rooster thought he turned on the spotlight. He thought maybe that was the sun. So when the sun went down, the spotlight came on, and the rooster crowed at it all night long. I had a lot of terrible thoughts about that rooster. I dreamed of catching him and donating him to Kentucky Fried Chicken. A lot of different things. But the fact of the matter is, we have to deal with neighbors all the time. But I think the worst neighbor of all neighbors is this guy that we read about this morning. And this was a crazy man. This crazy man was possessed by demons. Now, the message this morning is not going to be about demon possessions, but you have to at least mention it because it was there. I want to say this about demon possession. If you're a child of God, you don't need to worry about demon possession. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside you. And as long as you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, no demon or the devil is going to be in possession of you. And I'm very thankful for that. At some point in time, this man opened himself up to demon possession. Whether he was dabbling in the things of darkness or whatever it may be, he opened himself up to that. And because of that, he legitimately started acting crazy. He had some type of demonic power, as we read in this story, because they tried to bind him with chains and he broke them. They try to tie him up. They try to do whatever they can. He hung out in cemeteries. Now, I understand people like to go and go back to where their loved ones were buried and things like that. I don't quite understand when people like just hanging out there. And this guy was just hanging out in the cemeteries. He would be screaming his head off, and he would be cutting himself with stones, inflicting pain upon himself. Look, the devil, all he wants to do to us is destroy us. And so if you find yourself that you are wanting to hurt yourself, you're wanting to take your life, all those things, that is not of God. That means you need help, and the devil is influencing your mind and your life. And I'm thankful we can get help through our Savior, Jesus Christ. This guy literally was driving people nuts because no man could tame them, no man could bind them, and they just didn't know what they're going to do. Now, over the years working at camp, I've met some people that drove me nuts. And I don't think I've ran into demon possession or any of those things, so don't take it like that. But I've had people that I didn't know, what in the world am I going to do with them? Has that ever happened to you before? What am I going to do with that person? I remember for the very first time being a junior counselor at the Bill Rice Ranch. And these one junior boys, they love you because you are their counselor. And so because of that, they like to stare at you. So there's that 8-year-old, you're going to bed at 9. All right, everybody get ready to go to bed. There he is. All right, close your eyes now. Quit looking at me, you know. And you get ready to go to bed. Then you wake up the next morning, and there he is again. You snore. You know, that gets to you after a while. And I realize God did not call me to be a junior counselor. But anyway, there's been times that we've had campers that didn't take their medicine. And because of that, they really did not know how to control themselves. And it's sad today that oftentimes in our nation that when a kid is a disobedient kid, they say what they need is medicine to control them. What they need is a mommy and a daddy that will discipline them. Right. Oftentimes. I understand sometimes people have chemical imbalances and all those things. Well, I was getting ready to go, and I was headed down to do an illustrative message that we do for junior camp, and I was going to be preaching down there. And as I was heading to the rodeo arena, I got a call on the radio, and they said, basically, Brother Matt, we have a problem at cabin 716. Can you come and help? And I said, well, let me get done preaching, and after I get done preaching, I'll zip up there. So I went there, and preached about 10, 15 minutes, went back up, and there was a kid literally acting crazy. He was in the front there of cabin 716 in the grass, rolling around in the grass. If you've ever been to our camp before, the first thing I thought of was, bless his heart, this kid's going to get a mess of chiggers. And so I told him that. I said, I don't know why you're rolling around like you're doing, but you're going to get a bunch of bug bites if you're not careful. I don't care. It was something weird like that. He started zipping around everywhere. And I thought, boy, this boy is not right. He's got some problems. And there's other church counselors that were there. They said, well, he didn't get his medicine. We forgot to give it to him. And he said, I want to go to my cabin. And I said, well, you need to go to service. That's where we need to go right now. And he said, no, I want to go to my cabin. Then they mentioned to me about the medicine. And I said, oh, let's go get them to the nurse's station. And we went to help him get on the golf cart. And the youngin' bit me. Now, I don't know the last time you got bit before, but it's not a pleasant experience. And I'm very thankful on how I was able to react to that biting. For instance, we have some animals at our house from time to time, and we had a kitten from time to time that would like to bite us. There's a reaction that I have when a cat bites me. You know what I mean? Rare! You know, that kind of thing. That's biblical, I think. But that's how we react. So when this kid bit me, I'm thankful I didn't go, what? I didn't do any of that. All that came out was, don't bite. I was like, praise the Lord, that's all I said. And that's all I did to that kid. He had teeth marks and everything else on me. And he said, jumped off the golf cart, wasn't moving or anything. He said, I'm not going to service. I'm not taking my medicine. I'm not doing anything. And I said, well, why don't you just go back to your cabin? He said, no. I said, all right, son, look. You said when I first came here, that's what you wanted to do. You're right. I'm going to my cabin. Thank you. So he went to his cabin. I thought maybe we could get him controlled for a little bit. Maybe we get the medicine over in the cabin. And about that time, the service was ending in the John O'Rice Auditorium. So because it was ending there, I went backstage because I was supposed to help in the invitation. And I was waiting for the service to end. And all of a sudden, I hear on my radio, said, Brother Matt, we got a runner. I know what that means. We have an escapee from cabin 716. And that boy was running. And I know Murphy's Law and all this. He's going to be running into the John O'Rice Auditorium. And so me as a maintenance guy, we come running out, you know. And I guess it was more like walking out for us. But anyway, we went out there and that kid started running. And we grabbed a hold of him. And we tried to get him into the church bus because we've been talking to the church counselor. You need to take him home. And we got him into the church bus. And he started chucking water bottles at me. I'm thankful he had a bad aim because he just kept throwing it over my head. And I was like, you need to stop that. That was close. Now, God, stop that. And we're trying to do the best we can because, you know, we got to be real careful how we treat all these kids, of course. We got him back out of the bus because he was throwing everything. And I said, look, this is where we're at this day and age. I'm going to call the police if you don't straighten up. And he would not. And I said, okay, I'm not a liar. And I called the police. So the police showed up, and the police couldn't control this youngin. Had to handcuff the kid and sat him down at this tree, and he was acting crazy-like. Finally, he got calmed down. The police officer unhooked him, and he said, can I stay at this camp? And the youth pastor looked at me and said, can he stay? And I said, how many youngins do you have to take home tomorrow? He said, about 60 to 70. I said, what happens if he acts like this with 60 to 70 kids in the bus? And they said, we don't want that. I said, well, watch your kids. You take them on home. That kid had a lot of problems, and that kid needed help. There's another young man, I always remember him because of his name, and his name is Odie. Don't eat that too much. And here, Odie was having a hard time because he didn't like to obey the rules at camp, and he kept on getting in trouble because he had a cell phone. Well, Odie was pretty smart because he brought about 7 cell phones. So every time he got caught, He said, I'm sorry, I won't be on my cell phone again, and hand them the cell phone he wasn't on, right? And so he had a lot of problems with him, and finally we got an understanding, and he had to go, and he wanted to talk to home, and it was just a rough situation, and finally we got all his cell phones together, and we let him talk to home a few times a day. Well, that night in the John Rice Auditorium, he pulled me aside, and he said, can I talk to you for a minute, Brother Matt? I said, sure. I said, do you have any more cell phones on you? No, sir. I said, what's the deal with all that? He said, I'm sorry. I just really need to call home often. I said, well, you're 18, 19 years old. Are you homesick or what? He said, my mama brought home her girlfriend. And she lives with us now. And my sister's still there. And I'm worried about her. That was an eye-opening conversation right there. When people are acting crazy, it's normally a cry for help. There's a young man that got out after lights out, and he kept running around the camp. I don't know if you know who Brother Isaac is, but he got on his motorcycle chasing the kid down, and the kid kept on punching him. And Brother Isaac is a black belt in karate, and so it was not a big deal for him because this guy's just a little kid, but kept blocking him. It was just sort of annoying all night long getting hit by a little kid, right? So they got me up, and I went over there, and I said, you need to just get back in bed. And he said, no, and he started punching my bike. I was like, well, punching my bike all you want, that's got to hurt. But you really need to go back to bed. And he wouldn't talk to me. So I had to get his church counselor, and that church counselor, I hated it. He dislocated his shoulder there at the pig race that night, just got back from the hospital. And he went over there and he said, what's wrong with you? And he put his arm around that boy, and that boy straightened up just like that. That church counselor says, I do not know anybody but our church that loves that kid. With Odie, he didn't have anybody that loved him back at home. The other kid, when they were taking him home back to Indiana, they said, I don't know where we're going to drop him off at. His mama don't love him. His daddy don't know where he is. His grandparents were excited they finally get a week away from him. When somebody is acting crazy, it is a cry for help. If there's somebody that's annoying you in everything they're doing, it may just be they don't know how to communicate that they're going through a hard time. Maybe they're dealing with financial problems. Maybe they're dealing with a bad marriage. Maybe their children are giving them a hard time, or maybe it's a job issue. But normally when we see people acting nuts, they're crying for attention and for help. I'm so thankful our Savior loves the crazy people. I'm so thankful that our Savior wants to help the people that aren't acting right. Because without Jesus Christ, friend, that's where I'd be. So we first hear in this story, we see crazy man, but then we see the other character in this story, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful to be able to say about Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ has power over the demons and the devil. If you read other accounts of this story, you find that the legion, which we were many demons that were talking to the Lord Jesus, said, don't torment us now. Our judgment has not come yet. And the Lord Jesus said one word to them, go. And they took off. Because the demons themselves know that Jesus Christ is God, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and Jesus Christ has more power over the demons and the devil. I'm so thankful not only he had power over the demons, secondly, I'm thankful about Jesus Christ, he cared for the crazy guy. All throughout the New Testament, you find that the Lord Jesus Christ was eating with sinners. The Pharisees didn't like that. Because they didn't see themselves as what they were, sinners as well. But our Savior loves the crazy. Our Savior loves the sinners. He cured both of this guy's problems. One, that he had demons living inside him. And two, his need for a Savior. I'm so thankful there was a time in my life I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ to save me. Amen. Let me ask you something. Has there been a time in your life that you realize that? That you have a problem. You are on your way to hell. The Bible tells us we're all sinners, and because of our sin, that's what we deserve. Eternal separation from God in a place of darkness, a place of fire, and a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But our Savior loved us so much that he came to earth and he was perfect and he didn't do one thing wrong, and he died on the cross for my sins and for your sins, and 3 days later he rose from the grave. Has there been a time in your life that you've been born again? You could say, well, I've always been in church. That's not what I'm saying. Well, I try to be a good person. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, has there been a time in your life you trusted in Jesus Christ and him alone to save you? Because if you've done that, you're on your way to heaven. You can have happiness that we heard about on Sunday morning, in Sunday school. And we can have a life that is peaceful. Notice, Christ influences someone. They have peace. When the devil influences someone, brings destruction. Notice with this guy, with the devil's influence, he didn't like even to wear clothing. That's interesting. But when he met Jesus Christ, he was putting his clothes back on. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse number 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let Christ influence every aspect of your life. So we looked at the crazy man this morning. We looked at our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then lastly, we'll take a look at the command. You see, once this guy got saved, he wanted to go wherever Jesus was going. He wanted to do whatever Jesus was doing. He said, Lord, I never want to leave you. But what did the Lord Jesus tell him to do? He said, go home. I'm so thankful that God is still calling people to full-time Christian service, aren't you? Amen. Maybe you've been battling with that for quite some time. My friend, give it up, live the happiest life you can, and get in full-time Christian service. If God's called you to New Zealand for whatever reason, I'm telling you, go to New Zealand, and you're going to have the most happiest life ever because you're doing what God wants you to do. And we have a lot of people that's being called, but it's not going. But for a lot of people, God's saying this, go home. Go home. Tell them the great things the Lord hath done for you. And you can make a big impact just by doing that. Do you go around home telling people about the things of God? You know, oftentimes we hear a story about this crazy man from Gadara, and you think to yourself, you know what? That guy would have been an awesome evangelist. That guy would have been awesome. I mean, think about the testimony that he had. The maniac of Gadara, the guy that hung out, didn't like to wear clothing, hung out in the cemetery, cut himself with stones, possessed by demons, but then he found Jesus. He needs to go on the road, right? Well, I understand that, but the Lord Jesus didn't tell him to do that. The Lord Jesus said, go home. Go home. And you know what? We should go home first. You should be singing about the praises of God, one, in your house. What's the first thing you talk about in your house when you get home from services? I know hunger is going to come up at some point in time. I understand that. But so often, we base upon good services based upon the time we get out. We need to be a little bit more spiritual than that. We need to be paying attention to God's word and talking about that in your home. The church is supposed to come alongside with the home and to help. Does your neighbors know you go to church? Does your neighbors think you like your church? Or since they don't go to your church, you feel like you can complain about your church to your neighbors. And then you wonder why they don't ever come to your church. Hey, we're having special meetings with Tim Thompson. It's going to be wonderful. There's going to be good singing, good preaching. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And I hope that you can come. That's a good way to say it. Hey, we're having a contest with Tim Thompson, and they told us that we're supposed to be inviting people. Lord willing, we'll get out by 9, but I wouldn't count on it. You know what I'm saying? He just goes long. Just watch. You see perspiration get on his forehead? That means he's got an hour left. Right? And I love Brother Tim dearly, but you can talk like that, then you invite them to church and wonder why they don't come. Sometimes our preacher gets done even by 1 o'clock. It's a blessing. Hope that you get, when do you all get out? What? Noon. Wow, there's a thought. And we talk about those things. I understand at some point that we joke around about it. But if that's all we talk about, things of God, we're missing something. You know what we're missing oftentimes? Sometimes I see people with children that are grown that are in the area that aren't going to church. Mom and daddy's going to church still, but their kids aren't. And I understand they can make their own decisions. I understand all those things. I do. But it's the important reminder to us that still have kids at home, we need to be telling our kids about the goodness of God in our home. Amen. Let me say this. You don't need to dwell upon your failures if your kids aren't in church right now. I would say, don't give up on them. Well, they don't like me to talk about it. Well, pick your time and talk to them still about the goodness of God. And I'm still thankful that our God still listens to prayers, aren't you? Amen. And they can come back to God. They need a mommy and daddy that loves God, that keeps telling them that they love God and that they love them. The fact of the matter is, God's calling us all to go home. Go home and tell the great things that God has done for you. We're so good to talk about our ailments. We're so good to talk about what happened us to the store. Or there was a cranky cashier. We're so good about talking about all these things. But what about the goodness of God? Let's start it. Just go around and start having a Thanksgiving fit. Have your family involved on it. Aren't you thankful that God's given us this car? There's a lot of things you can complain about that car, right? Maybe one, it has a bow tie on it. Maybe that's something to complain about. Maybe it's a blue oval. This Ford, yeah, right? But aren't you thankful you got a car that's got air conditioning? Amen. You're like, that'd be nice. Or a heater. Or it runs. You got something. Thank God you don't have anything to put gas in. There you go. Don't have a car. We just go tell our friends the good things that God's done for you and God's love for you. And you know what happens if you start telling people about the goodness of God? They'll marvel. And they'll say, I want what they have. And you're going to be able to give the gospel. Maybe right now you feel like a touch of this crazy neighbor, meaning you've got some problems, you've got some issues that you know you have not given to God. During this invitation time, why don't we come down to the front and let's give our problems to God. Amen. Maybe you're here and you realize by the way you've been living your life and your attitude, you have not been going home and telling your friends and your family members the great things that God's done for you. Come down there in front, get down on your knees and get right with God and say, I'm going to start today. Maybe you're here And you'd say, I'm a touch of that crazy man because I don't even know for certain that I'm going to heaven. I can't imagine going through this life not knowing where my eternal soul is going to go. That would be maddening to me. Pillow in your head each night just wondering what would happen if I don't wake up. But I'm so thankful I have Jesus Christ in my life. I'm born again. When I was 11 years old, I trusted in Jesus Christ. I know that I'm going to heaven. And if you don't have that today, you can get that today. It's a free gift that's offered to us. So this invitation time that I'm talking about, when there's going to be some piano playing, I'm going to invite you just to come down here to the front, walk right up to the pastor and say, Pastor, can you show me? And somebody will show you from the Bible. And your world will be turned upside down. And you'll have peace that passes all understanding. Let's bow our heads.